This is what's coming up on the show.
Actually, I have a couple of friends who don't want to buy their girlfriend a vibrator or dildo because that makes them feel that they are somehow inferior and that they don't get the job done, which is so fucking stupid. like toys mostly can only enhance the relationship that you have, not like make you feel inferior. And if you feel that way, sorry, but then maybe you are inferior. Like if you think that the toy has so much power over you, your relationship or you, then sorry, but it's a fucking piece of plastic or silicone. It has nothing to do with power over you. It has everything to do with her pleasure, and that should be the most important thing. Yeah, I mean, I sometimes try to finish your sentence because I think that we think very, very alike most of the time. That's why we are a couple. but it's very slippery, and actually, it's not something you should do when you're discussing kink, because that's just that's sometimes a touchy subject, and it has a whole realm of nuances and details that you want to discuss, and therefore you should just shut the fuck up and truly listen what she has to say.
You are now listening to the Venus Cuckoldress Podcast, a place to learn all things cuckolding for the curious, the passionate, and the sexually empowered woman who wants it all. Go to venuscuckoldress.com. You'll find the new Queen's Quarters fan destination. Book a one-to-one chat with me, listen to the private podcast, and even get access to my secret Snapchat group where I share some of my most intimate encounters. Now sit back, make yourself comfortable, and let's dive right into this episode. Welcome, welcome, welcome everybody to the show. I'm your host, Venus. Thanks for joining me. Today's show, I have Oliver and he is back. We are going to be talking about a little thread that he posted on Twitter that went a little bit viral. And we're going to share that information with you. It's all about what to do if your partner is kinkier than you. This is going to be so helpful for all of those people, especially for the guys out there who think that or feel like they're kind of stuck because they feel like, at least with cuckolding, they're far more kinkier than their wife or partner. So Oliver has some really great tips to share, and this is going to be super helpful for all of the listeners out there today. But as per usual, I have some announcements to make. So since the last episode aired, I have been to Arizona to the Hot Wife Palooza event. And let me tell you, it was so fun. I had such a great time. I met lots of new people. I brought two of my favorite bulls and I hung out by the pool. I got to meet all sorts of new friends. And it was just a really great time. So I went over all the details of my trip with my Helpful Cuck supporter tier group in our weekly live hangouts that we did, and as well in our Snapchat group. So I shared my pictures and videos and all that fun stuff, and it was a good time. So if you want to join the Helpful Cuck tier, you certainly can. You can go to venuscuckoldress.com and click on the Queen's Quarters. And if you follow me on Instagram, you will have seen a little reel that I posted about a new blanket that I got. Okay, first of all, let me tell you. I have, some of you ladies out there can relate, I have ruined many a piece of furniture in my squirting days. Yeah. So I'm one of those women who squirts and or can squirt sometimes. And it's fun when you're in like the right place and you're not afraid to like just, you know, let loose and have fun and make a big ass puddle. But not always great when you're kind of not expecting it and not prepared. So these, it's called a splash blanket. I found it actually on Instagram and I was scrolling through and I was like, oh, fuck, that's perfect. That's what I need. It's so pretty. So I got one and it is gorgeous. Okay. And it's 100% waterproof. I mean, like completely waterproof. But it's also soft and super pretty. So I got like the dark purple color because I'm on a purple thing lately. so you can tell by my hair. But it is awesome. So fellas, make sure you get one for your lady. She will love it. Trust me. If you go to splashblanket.com, that's where you can find them in all the different colors and all the different sizes. And I believe if you put in the code Venus, they'll even give you a discount. And don't forget, I have a new Moan community group. So on the Moan app, I have a group. It's called Cuckolding is Love. It's open for everybody to join. And I already did a AMA, I think it was, Ask Me Anything kind of thing, which was awesome. So make sure that you join that group. It's free. You just have to pop on the app and search in the communities and you will find it. There's also a private group that I have on there for the helpful cucks only. So that one's kind of special. And a reminder that there's a new blog on my website, venuscuckoldress.com. If you love interracial, which a lot of you do, then you're going to love this blog. It's called The Goddess Worshipper, and he's been blogging for a long time, and he's just moved on over to my website. So you'll definitely want to check it out. There's some new material on there, and you can also post a comment. That's it for announcements. Let's jump into today's episode with Oliver. Joining me on the show once again is a returning guest. He goes by the name of Oliver, and he was on the show once before to talk about AI when it comes to cuckolding and how it can actually enhance things for everyone involved. And that was such a cool show. So if you haven't listened to it, make sure you go to the show notes because I will post a link to that one in there. But Oliver is here today to talk about this fucking amazing thread that he posted on, I call it Twitter. I'm forever going to call it Twitter. I don't give a fuck what you want to call it, but it's to me, it's Twitter. So we're going to talk about this awesome thread that was basically, you know, helping a lot of people out there. So welcome to the show, Oliver. Say hello to all of the listeners.
Hello, all the listeners in the United States, Canada, and Europe, and many places beyond Europe.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Can you believe it's been 4 years since I first started this podcast? And looking back, I had no idea that this would be my full-time job. I love the work that I do, and it's because of you, the listeners, and your support that I'm able to do this. So right now, if you join the Helpful Cuck tier, you get tons of benefits. My favorite ones are the private one-to-one chat every month. You also get access to my private Snapchat group. Weekly live hangouts with me on Crowdcast. I love those. And you get juicy bonus episodes. There's key holding. There's video replays of the Pillow Talk events. And there's also access to my private community on the Moan app. So join right now. You can use the promo code CUCKLOVE2024 for 15% off your Helpful Cuck membership at venuscuckoldress.com. Yes, so that's true. You are not in the United States and Canada. You are somewhere far, far away from me anyway.
Yeah, North Europe. Yeah,
North Europe, yeah. Okay, this tweet which was posted on August 29th recently. This one, it says, a short thread of what to do when your girlfriend is very vanilla and seemingly uninterested in exploring kink, and even less in exploring sexual lifestyles such as cuckolding. So this is a advice thread. What inspired this? How come you just decided to write this?
So I need to make a short time travel before I get to that. But basically, some time ago, I wanted to have more time for intimacy with me and my wife. And we decided to do those on first days. And the first thing we did was basically make this type of BDSM test where you get to see what your kinks are and how much are you into some kind of stuff, how much are you not into. And there, well, to my initial disappointment, because I felt that we had, made some progress with some stuff in the last 7 months, that there we discovered that, she is rather vanilla and I'm not. That's a very common, very, very common type of finding, let's say. But you know how guys you react. Like, some guys just start sulking, some guys just like lock up and don't go deeper than that, and just try to blame themselves or blame their wife if that's the worst case. But after the first like 2-3 hours of not sulking, but just like trying to think like how, why, like, yeah, why hasn't there been like some progress, then like you get over it, and then you start looking for solutions if you're an aspiring person who wants to make it better. But it wasn't all me, it was her as well. So she found some articles like how to get a better understanding of each other when one is vanilla and the other isn't. And then we found some blog posts, and then we started to brainstorm the ideas. And ever since then, I think things have been crawling upwards and upwards and upwards. And right now, I think I'm in a very, very happy place.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear that. So this kink test that you guys did, where did you find that?
It's actually quite common. Like, you can always see it on, I think it's on fatlife.com, where people list their kinks on a scale of 100, from 0 to 100. Like, there is this different, like, degrady, brats, rope bunny. Like, there's a whole bunch of stuff. And I think the original test is the www.bdsmtest.org. So that's the main address. And there you can either do a short version of this, or you can do a very long, thorough one. And we did the long one. So we went through all the lists, and then we saw that she's vanilla and I'm not. And then we started to think of ways how we can align.
So kind of like a personality test, but for kink.
Yeah.
Kinky stuff. Okay, so that showed that there was a discrepancy, which was, I guess, not surprising because you knew that in the beginning, but you've been trying to work on kind of aligning better over the last, you said, 7 months, right?
Yeah, we've been like trying more stuff, and we've been trying like in the bedroom and actually outside of bedroom as well. But you know, when you see after like several months the results and they're still relatively the same, you think like, am I doing something wrong? Am I pushing some stuff onto her that she's not liking at all?
Was she surprised with her results? Was she like, oh damn, I'm still vanilla?
Actually, she wasn't. So that's another sign that she's comfortable in her skin, and that's a great thing. Like, she knows what she wants, and that's like mostly vanilla stuff, and that's very fine. I mean, I think the majority of women, like especially in Western countries right now, like we all think that there's this bunch of kinky crazy women out there who like, from social media, but that's not the case usually. Like, most women are still like just trying to trying to see who they are, what they want, and what they want to explore. And some women are really happy with just being, you know, like doing mild stuff, not going to the extremes. And that's fine.
Yeah, I agree that there is this idea that there's some really kinky women, lots of single kinky women out there. And
yeah.
Not really. I mean, with my matchmaking service, I definitely see a difference between the single guys and the single women when it comes to the kink dynamics that they're looking for. So it's interesting. So that's okay. So then instead of sulking, you decided, you know, fuck this. I'm just going to be proactive and try to come up with some sort of solution, some sort of plan, right? And that's how you came up with this list. And you're like, I think now that I figured out all of these things, I'm going to post it on Twitter.
It wasn't quite that. I mean, at first it was a lot of reading. Then it was a lot of discussing, like, where can we align? Like, what can we do? And finally, it was like actually like putting it to actual use. So I can share some blog post links that I read with my partner that maybe other pairs could be, or other couples could be interested in. But usually, like at first, when you do the test and you find that there's a discrepancy or there's a big difference, then the first thing I advise to do is like read advice from real psychologists, like why is that, then, and what can you do to not like let it ruin your bed life and your marital life. And then you start discussing, because if you start discussing right away, then a lot of context can go missing, and you're not always like that great in articulating your thoughts when you haven't actually read any supporting evidence or any supporting material. So, but yeah, I mean, healthy discussion and actually like dedicated discussion, like you don't just leave it in, I don't know, you don't just leave it into the back of your head, like for months and months, but you actually like try to talk about it every week, at least a bit, at least just a tiny bit. And then you can get to the results. And after we had discussed a lot, I felt that I'm probably not the first or the last guy to be in this type of relationship. So I thought that if I'm slowly coming back of this, like, I don't know, phase of mild disappointment, I think other guys can also come if they have had similar reactions from their girlfriends or their wives. And then I made the list with the, and this was actually a combined list. This was a list of lessons I learned after the test and before the test. So basically, when we started out, like our version of being kinky was basically handcuffs.
I mean, go to.
Yeah, basically. And then we started incorporating role play and some pegging elements. Then we started incorporating like more heavier and more intense role play. And then we started to get into interracial and stuff. So it's been a progress. It's been a long, long progress. And sorry for the speedster, but it's been years of processing. And that's why I think the last point that I wanted to focus on really much was the 10th point. Like, you gotta have patience if you have a like vanilla girlfriend. And also I want to emphasize one more time, being vanilla is fine. Like, I really don't want any women to feel that they are less or they are somehow not capable of loving their partner the way they want to if they are vanilla. That's bullshit. Like, you don't need to go to the extremes for your partner. But as Dan Savage pointed out, the video you showed me, you can align your interests in a lot of ways.
You can still be vanilla. You can be vanilla and still be GGG. Giving and game, right? Yeah. As for Dan Savage. Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to talk about that. Let's go through the list. But first, I do want to say that you're absolutely right. You're not the first guy to be in this situation to realize that, like, oh, this is not a level. We're not on the same page when it comes to kink and sexuality and desires and fantasies and things like that. Like, there's probably thousands and thousands of listeners right now who are in the same spot as you. And so this is why I think it's really important to talk about the steps that you have taken and will take because this can help a lot of people kind of navigate this. You were talking about blogs that you guys were reading and stuff like that. I know that there's another really amazing podcast called Sex and Psychology by Dr. Justin Lay Miller. And he's recently done an episode where it tackles this subject where one partner's kinkier than the other. I have not listened to that episode because I'm so behind in my podcast listening right now. But I just want to put that out there that there's very, really good evidence-based podcasts and blogs out there that can help you understand all of this, that you as a couple can help understand all of this. So let's get started. All right, let's go through the first point that you wrote down. This is the Twitter thread that we're going to go through, which, by the way, 29,000 views. That's pretty amazing. And 41 bookmarks. So I did put it out there when I reposted it. I was like, a lot of you guys need to bookmark this thread. So 28,000 views and 41 bookmarks. That's pretty amazing. So I think this really resonated with a lot of people. So let's get started. So number one said, you said, do not sulk. It's hard, sometimes excruciatingly hard to do, but it won't help. It never will. And I think that was the first realization that you said you had, right?
Yeah. Like this was I'm not going to lie. I was sulking for the first hour. I was like, like how, like, yeah. I made such work in the last 7 months and this is the result, like why and how. But then you start to realize like if you're gonna keep sulking, nothing is going to get better, absolutely nothing. Like you're gonna just be stuck in the same spot, or you're actually gonna go to a worse spot than what you were before. So you just like gotta accept the L or the loss, so to speak, if you realize the difference. And then you start, it's so easy to start stalking. Like it's so fucking easy. I just understand it because there's this like momentarily you get a sense of despair, like this is never going to get better, or like you feel like this inevitability, and you start seeing everything in darker tones. But this is not the case if you have a working relationship. If you have a trustful relationship and there's trust and communication in the relationship, you can't get over it, but you just have to stop thinking only inside your own head, like what to do. You gotta actually start tackle it with your partner.
Oh, such great advice. Okay, number two, you said there's a considerable chance that she is just tired or not feeling confident in the relationship or herself. You can help. You said, take more domestic duties. Affirm your love for her with action. I love that sentence right there. Like, I love that sentence. And you said, gift her a small bouquet of flowers for no reason. That is so fucking underrated, let me tell you. I think that that little gesture, for me anyways, it means so much. And you said, massage her with coconut oil, not just oil, but coconut oil. And for those of you listening, you're probably laughing because you know what coconut oil makes me think of, or the scent of coconut makes me think of.
Well, it works the same wonders on her sometimes as well. But basically, I'm not going to toot my own horn too much, but the bouquet of flowers, that's something that I do sometimes because I think it's just such an easy but a firm way to show your love and show your admiration, because it's, I never have I never expect like sex or like a blowjob after that. It's just like, hey, like, I think you're gorgeous and I think you're an amazing person. So just have those flowers and let them bloom, basically. And but besides there's a considerable chance that she's feeling tired. I mean, we have kids. We have small kids and we are tired. Both of us are tired 90% of the time. And when you're both tired, it's just so much harder to actually even think about kink, let alone explore it. Like, just thinking about it is sometimes hard because you're always stressed out with this 100 small projects that you have to fulfill before the bedtime comes, and then you have to start doing your own stuff, and that's also a separate chapter. So it's easy to get overwhelmed, and it's easy to be tired. But what I found out is that most guys, including me, like, we sometimes get lazy with domestic duties. We tend to take some things for granted that we shouldn't at all. And it's very easy to forget that. But you just got to be mindful that when she's tired, she's not just saying that because she wants to avoid sex. She's actually tired.
Yes.
Like, yeah, she just needs some sleep and some rest.
Oh, I 100% agree. I do these private chats where people can book a private chat with me through my website, venuscuckoldress.com. And I have recently been talking to a few women who have wanted to chat with me. And every single one of them has said that same thing. I am just tired. Like, it feels like a job for me sometimes to like take on something else. And they have kids, and you know, their partner's like, you know, texting them like, what are you thinking right now? Like, tell me something sexy or whatever. And she's like, I'm thinking about fucking school lunches. I'm thinking about, you know, cleaning. I'm thinking about like all of this shit. Like, she's like, I am not like, I am tired. Like, I got a lot of shit going on here. Mm-hmm. So I completely agree. It sounds like you're an amazing partner in that you do help a lot, but you're right. Like, it's easy to kind of get stuck in that kind of taking for granted some of those things, you know, where you could actually do more.
You can always do more.
You can always do more. Absolutely. Yeah. And be creative for the guys listening right now. Be creative. And I'm not just talking about getting her flowers, but I'm not talking about asking her what she needs help with, but like you said, affirm your love for her with action. I'm talking about actually anticipating what she's going to need help with.
Yeah.
Like figuring that out so that you don't have to ask her.
Yeah. Because that's actually like what my own girlfriend like said, like my own wife, like it's another job to reply to questions. Like if you keep asking like what to do, that's another job for me because I need to start thinking of stuff that I need to give to you. And that's another like brain task for me. Like just like if you just notice stuff more, then it's a lot easier for everyone.
Yeah, I had a guy one time, he said to me, let me know if you need help with anything. And I was like, yeah. That is not what I want to hear. Ever. Don't ever fucking say that again. Yeah. Like, I appreciate the sentiment behind it, but I'm like, I need you to just figure out what you can do to help me with these things. Like, yeah, you're absolutely right with that. Okay, so then number three, you said once she has more energy and less duties to worry of, she is more inclined to think about sex, including kink. If you're not a good communicator, which is okay, give her a few, but not a barrage of podcasts, articles that introduce your favorite interests in an articulated way. So we kind of touched on this already, in the fact that this is what you guys have done together is to, you know, read some articles or listen to some podcasts or whatever.
I do want to point out that I think like why I said that if you're not a good communicator, which is okay, I think a lot of guys just have a really hard time like expressing all their thoughts in a very like natural way that sounds like them. Like it's so hard to speak of kink for the first time for many guys, or even the second time. Like it never gets old in a way. and then like you start to stutter, you start to stumble upon like sentences. Like it's just easier sometimes to just, hey, this article basically says what I want and why I want it, and this will just help you understand who I am. So basically I think that was my whole intent. I know that there's a lot of guys who have a really hard time with like talking without getting confused or, I don't know, getting into their own thoughts too much.
Yeah. Oh, I agree 100%.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you said, number four, you said, introduce them after she's had a good intimate experience with you. And please don't hesitate to use toys for her pleasure. Yes. Prefer content that represents the female point of view to a kink lifestyle. And then you said, my podcast, thank you. and you said that this is key. Wait for her to digest this information and avoid bombarding. I really like that you put that at the end.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Hey, did you know that there's a one-of-a-kind matchmaking service for cuckolding and female-led relationships? Venus Connections is a private service for single men and single women who want a loving, cuckolding relationship. And now there's a new separate FLR program, too. There's no scrolling through profiles or sharing photos with members. It's totally private. And the dates are blind dates, too. Included in the program is a 3-week course and an interview with me. So join now at venusconnections.com and use the code TOPTIER2024 for 40%. Off the top 1% membership. That's venusconnections.com. Make 2024 the year that you get the relationship of your dreams.
Yeah, because like what, and that's what also I did. It was a first mistake that I made many months ago is that, you know, I gave her like an article or podcast. And then once she had finished it, I immediately started asking questions. But she hadn't really like analyzed it because she has stuff to do. She's a normal mom.
She's busy. Yeah.
And then like, if you like give it some weeks, but you're gently reminding like, hey, like can we like bring this up in a week or two? Then it's like it doesn't put too much pressure. Like you get a like time frame so it doesn't disappear from the conversation and communication, but you also like do not pressure her into giving you answers in 24 hours. Like she needs more time usually to digest this.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. And so, but yeah. You said to bring it up or introduce it to her after she's had a good intimate experience. So tell me, what's the rationale behind this?
I mean, generally, women are more open to discussing new kinks and new stuff after a mind-fucking orgasm. like it's just easier to agree with stuff because you're in such a good state. And also, like, you're just willing to be more open-minded, perhaps. Because you have just released a bunch of endorphins and you're just in a truly blissful state, and then almost nothing seems like too weird. But I mean, some stuff will still be, but most of the stuff you can be like, like I really love this guy. Perhaps like we can explore this. Yeah,
right. Excellent advice. Okay, yeah. Number five. You said, ask simple, open-ended questions. What did you think? Do you think that we could explore it in a way that would make you feel comfortable? Comfortable being the key word. So open-ended questions are basically questions that don't require a yes or no.
Yeah.
They require some sort of explanation kind of thing, descriptive answer. Excellent advice for guys who maybe are not the sharpest with communication skills, next level communication skills, which is what this kind of relationship requires. And then you said, gauge her reactions and truly listen. Do not interrupt or try to finish her sentences. Excellent advice.
Yeah, I mean, I sometimes try to finish her sentences because I think that we think very, very alike. Most of the time, that's why we are a couple. But it's very slippery, and actually, it's not something you should do when you're discussing kink, because that's just that's sometimes a touchy subject, and it has a whole realm of nuances and details that you want to discuss, and therefore, you should just shut the fuck up and truly listen what she has to say.
Just shut the fuck up and listen. I love it. Okay. And then you said number six, when it comes to cuckolding, avoid making her feel any type of pressure. Start gently exploring some elements of non-humiliating femdom. And you said humiliation can be very hard for vanilla women. Yes. You said show her that it's not only a hardcore fantasy, but something that makes you happy. That's right. Because for, I would say, most women who are introduced to this word humiliation as a kink, that to them means mean, degrading, yeah, damaging your partner, potentially damaging your relationship. So I like how you said that you need to make her understand that this actually makes you happy.
Yeah, because for us, I mean, humiliation was also a touchy subject, you know, because like her own grandma was a mean bitch. And basically she didn't want to be like anything resembling her, because she truly was mean. I have seen her once, and she's although she was kind with me, I understood the resentment she had for her grandchildren, which was very weird to experience. Because, I mean, yeah, it's just like, it's such a foreign realm, humiliation, like in general, erotic humiliation. Like, it's something we frown upon as a society. You know, we don't tend to like cheer bullies. We don't then tend to cheer people who, we can actually argue both ways, because like roasting. roasting shows have been more like popular these days, and stand-up comedies where it's a lot of like gentle humiliation. But in general, we don't tend to cheer those individuals who do that, and especially women who do that. Yeah. So it's just like, do not start with that. Like, build your way towards it. Like, yeah.
Oh, can't say that enough. Yeah. To those of you listening, do not start with that. And I have heard stories, lots of stories, where he did start with that. I want you to tell me this, that, and that. And she's like, what? What the fuck? okay. And then you said, where are we here? Number
seven.
Thank you. You said, for women and many men, seeing their partners turned on makes them feel turned on. Absolutely. That's how it is for me. You said, it's a lot about the vibe, not the act or the visual. And if she's turned on, you both can slowly evolve. Don't expect them to like cuckolding. Make her enjoy the vibe of her taking charge. What exactly did you mean by that?
I mean by that, like, at least in our relationship and some past relationships I've had, what I've found out is that, like, girls don't like bondage. Sometimes they don't like cuckolding, but they like some elements within it, and they like the vibe that they are feeling with their partner during this act. So they don't like the act itself. Like, they don't like Google bondage or cuckolding in their free time, but they do love the vibe that you have when you're in a session with your partner. So basically, like, this is like just advice for guys. Like, do not expect women to, like, if you had a cuckolding ish like session with her, do not expect her to start Googling it. Like, they like probably she just loved the orgasm she had in the bedroom, and the whole vibe inside the bedroom. But she doesn't like perhaps the act itself. She just likes the way it makes her feel. So yeah. Basically, that's sometimes a complicated concept to get a hold of, because there are women out there who like cuckolding. There are women out there who like bondage as an act maybe as a visual as well. But they are, I don't think that they're in the majority. Maybe you think so, but I don't think so.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree with that. Yeah. I think the biggest pull for me in the beginning when I was first learning about this was not necessarily what was happening, but it was, I was feeding off of how turned on he was by what was happening. Yeah. So I totally understand what you're saying. The more he was like, I'm talking next level turned on by all of this, I was like, damn, like, this is kind of fun. Kind of, you know what I mean? So I totally get what you're saying. This might be a really powerful insight for a lot of guys out there who hadn't thought about it that way, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and it's hard to think about this way if you haven't really had a successful experience like that.
Yes.
Because if you have mostly, so to say, mediocre or bad experiences, then you may never think of it this way because you don't have the real life example to lean on to. So yeah.
Okay, and then number 8, you said, again, do not hesitate to use toys as you evolve with her being in charge. Visit a sex shop together, continue being present and domestic duties, and listening to her, continue pampering. If she's receptive, introduce mild fantasies to her. So there's two important things there that you said. You said it a couple times now, toys. So do you think that most guys just wouldn't think of or don't like to use toys?
Actually, I have a couple of friends who don't want to buy their girlfriend a vibrator or dildo because that makes them feel that they are somehow inferior and that they don't get the job done, which is so fucking stupid. Toys mostly can only enhance the relationship that you have, not make you feel inferior. And if you feel that way, sorry, but then maybe you are inferior. If you think that the toy has so much power over your relationship or you, then sorry, but it's a fucking piece of plastic or silicone. It has nothing to do with power over you. It has everything to do with her pleasure, and that should be the most important thing, in my opinion. And also, there are so many awesome toys out there that do enhance any type of session or this experience. For example, we use Lelo Sona Cruise 2, and this Lelo is a Swedish sex toy manufacturer who makes very high premium toys, and almost all of their toys work like a charm. They always work and it never diminishes any type of session that we have. So guys, go to sex shop together and just and also the sex shop clerks are usually very friendly and they're very, very, very knowledgeable about stuff. So it's just a generally good place to go as a date, for example. And the second part, introduce mild fantasies to her, is that if you start with hardcore stuff, you're gonna get burnt quite fast. It usually goes that way. I mean, not in all cases, but it usually goes that way. And one more thing about the toys, I wanted to say, because when we started our relationship, we had 2 toys. Now we have about 25. So and our relationship is stronger than ever. So go figure.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I think toys are an enhancement. Guys don't have to be all insecure about it being a replacement for them. It's an enhancement. And like you said, this is about her pleasure. So if you want to limit her pleasure, then you're really a piece of shit, really.
Okay.
We are making our way down this list. I love it so much. You said, and I love, by the way, I love how you said go on a date to the sex shop, the toy shop. Love that so much. That's so great. We need to make that a thing. Okay. So number 9, you said not any women will be receptive to after this. Then it's time to ask yourself if it's the right relationship for you. Oh, this one's hard. This one's hard.
Yeah.
You said this is hard, especially if you've had kids. Maybe she would consent to you exploring your interests with a pro dominatrix. It would be an ethical plan B. Okay, we're talking about the elephant in the room right now. This is what if you are truly not compatible and not ever going to be compatible? You have to really think about what to do. Can you make are you going to stay in this relationship or are you going to leave or is there a plan B?
Yeah, and why I brought out the plan B, for me it was the dominatrix, is that we actually discussed it, maybe I have some kinks that she's just not into it at all, and we actually discussed that maybe we can like, I don't know, try to indulge these kinks with a third partner who is a professional, who doesn't expect any sex, but just like is there to cater to the kink, so to speak, and that could work. But I mean, if like some dominatrixes are very expensive, so it's not a solution for everyone. And some people just don't have any great dominatrixes near them. They live in they live in the countryside where there isn't really someone to just go to a session. So it's not for everyone. But yeah, I mean, that's really the hardest thing, because I know I've been lurking around in the internet community of kinky people for around 8 years, 10 years, and I've befriended a lot of guys who are in these type of relationships, and I've just seen how they get sadder and sadder over years. Yeah. And it's such a tragic thing to see, because like you want the best for a person you get along with, but you can't really do anything, because it's their life, and they have to make their choices. You can't make them for them, and as I said, like, it's very hard to do if you have kids, because then it gets messy all around. Like, there, I mean, even without kids, there's this whole like financial side, there's this whole like security side, where I'm going to go, where I'm going to live, how I'm going to make it on my own. Like, there's so many questions that need to be answered, and when you're in this type of dire situation, you start to think of all the positives that outweigh the negatives to talk yourself into it. Like, that's the most common thing that usually happens.
Yeah. I do like that you put it on the list, though, because that is unfortunately something that you have to consider for some people.
Yeah.
Okay, number 10, you said, but I have a hunch that most loving partners would agree to evolve and explore your sexual interests with you, especially if they feel they also benefit from this. You just got to be patient, and patience is a quality that cucks must have. So true.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm a real life example. Like, if you don't have patience, I probably will be in a very unhappy relationship right now. So, or I will be single, maybe. Like, yeah. Like, who knows? But I'm really glad I'm not, and I'm really glad that I have found such a vanilla partner who is such an awesome person.
Yeah, well, she does seem to be, you know, very open-minded. So vanilla and closed-minded is shitty. It sucks. Like, but vanilla and open-minded is a good thing. And like we mentioned earlier, GGG, good giving and game. That's something Dan Savage talks about. Like, if you really do love and appreciate and value your partner, then of course you're going to want to, you know, extend that, you know, being open-minded and learning about what turns them on. And as long as it's, you know, something that's within reason comfortable for you, then fucking go for it. Why not? Right.
Yeah. And also, like, because you recommended the Savage podcast that me and my girlfriend very much loved, and I really recommend every cuck and cuckoldress to go through it. I mean, for us, there were like many eye-opening statements there, and many eye-opening like sentences there. But like, I think one of the most daunting, well, not the daunting, but just one of the most memorable ones is that for gay guys, and I know because I'm a bisexual guy and I have experienced this, it's really okay to be like, I'm not into anal. Like, I'm not into anal at all. And if a woman says I'm not into vaginal, like, most of the guys are like, what the fuck? Like, this woman is crazy. Like, she doesn't want sex. She isn't into any kind of sex. When really, like, there can be a multitude of reasons behind that. And sometimes she's just not into vaginal this week or this day. And that's really fine. But we, like, straight guys and straight people, they tend to think about sex in very binary ways sometimes. Where for bisexual and gay guys, like, it's true what Dan Savage says, like, in Grindr, almost every conversation starts with what are you into, because then we can like see if we're actually compatible or we are just wasting each other's time, and then we start listing stuff that we both like, and then we start negotiating what's gonna happen next. So it's a good tactic, and I wish more straight people use that.
Yeah, and it's a very good point that like when it comes to sex with hetero people, like you don't start out a conversation like that when it comes to sex. It's just the expectation is that, you know, you might do a little oral and then you're gonna stick your dick in her pussy. And that's what's gonna happen. Of course, we're talking about sex, right? I mean, like that's the expectation with hetero couples and like when it comes to sex. But yeah, if we could just like copy some of what the conversations are like between gay men or gay couples, is that like you have to have that conversation starting out as like, okay, what are you into? If you're into this, great. If not, okay, what else can we do? And come up with like a plan. And that's so important. So what we're talking about is Dan Savage. There's a lot of videos online where he's done some talks and stuff like that. And one of them is one of my absolute fucking favorites. And it's called The Three Things That We Get Wrong About Love. It is, I think, about an hour long. It is amazing. I have bookmarked it for years and years. I have recommended this video to so many people because it is every person who I've talked to who has watched it has been like, wow, I learned so much. I never thought of things in that way. I'm constantly telling people to watch this video. So Dan Savage is like, he's been a sex advice columnist for so fucking long, is many, many years. He's got a podcast called the Savage Love Cast. And he's truly amazing. He's the reason why I am doing what I'm doing, because he actually was the first person to introduce me to non-monogamy, to open my eyes to like, oh, there's other stuff out there. And he's hilarious and he's smart and witty and fun. And like, he's great. So I highly recommend. I'll put the link to the video in the show notes for today, but I'll also put a link to his podcast as well.
Yeah, what we also really like from Dan Savage is monogamy is a nice idea. and what we also liked was that, what weighs more? Like 10 years of relationship, a shared house, kids, great memorable experiences, or this one hand job from a masseuse? Like basically, like, it's like you don't want to like support cheating. Like there's different levels of cheating. And what's true, like some cheating is more like, does way more than the list I mentioned, but usually like people do tend to want to fuck other people throughout their lifetime besides their own partner. And monogamy is a nice idea. And if you are loyal to your partner for the rest of your life, you should get a gold medal.
Yeah. He's saying the standards of perfection that we have for monogamy are just so fucking unrealistic. So like I said, you have to watch that. If you haven't watched the video, you have to. Dan Savage, The Three Things We Get Wrong About Love. So after you wrote this, or, you know, I actually should ask you, did your wife contribute to this list, or did you guys go through it after, or?
So basically she contributed it to with our experiences. And I also talked about this list, but she didn't read it through like before I published it. So, but she like when she's hearing me right now as we are speaking about this podcast, I can see her showing thumbs up. So,
yay! Yeah. That's great. Okay, and so what is the you posted this on Twitter? It obviously blew up. What have been some of the reactions that you've gotten from people from this list?
Most of the reactions have been supportive and like, yay, I needed to hear this, or like, it's good to be reminded of some basic stuff. So obviously I think this post has reached some people who have already followed some of these points and actually like, are just reminded that this was the way they started, or perhaps like maybe they should pamper more or do more domestic duties, like they have forgotten some things. But there have also been like a few guys who have actually like slid into my DMs and just told me that, hey, like, dude, like, this was maybe the thing I needed to, because, like, I don't know what to do with my vanilla girlfriend. Like, I'm just, like, stuck in this place. And, you know, I didn't try to hold his hand and say that if this doesn't work, then I'm out of ideas, but I'm maybe Dan Savage or maybe Venus has more ideas. So yeah. These are my ideas right now. But if you need more, I'm sure that there are people out there who can give you more.
That's amazing. Like I said in the beginning of the show, like, I really do think that talking about this list, reading this list, sharing that this list is going to be really helpful for a lot of people who are going through this very, very common dilemma of I'm kinky, she is not, he or she is not, and how do we make this work kind of thing? How do we work with that? Like, well, how do we make these steps to take, this plan to take, to be able to eventually make it work kind of thing. So I think it's really amazing. Thank you so much for writing this and for sharing it. You certainly didn't have to. There are people out there who are just living their life, doing their thing, learning stuff, but not everybody takes the initiative to put it out there and share it with the hope of helping other people. So I really appreciate that about you.
Well, the thing is also that, I mean, because I mean, it hasn't been always this smooth ride for us. Like, we have also had some rocky patches where, like, we felt that we are kind of, like, stuck in some place, or, like, there's some things that aren't progressing as fast as I want them to progress. And it's, I think it's just incredibly common. And it's way more common than I want to think. And therefore, you know, as a dude, you want to do good for other dudes and other women as well, because I'm sure that there are also couples out there where the woman is the more kinkier side and the guy is like, hey, I just want to like do some doggy style and I'm good. But I do think that the world of kink has so much to offer to us. I am absolutely amazed with the whole concept of cuckolding, as you might have guessed. And I do think that kinks and cuckolding, whatever, like sexual lifestyles, they can really bring forth so many great memories down the road that you really want to relive as you get older and older. So
yeah, absolutely. Well, our time is up. We do need to wrap this up, which is a shame because I feel like we could talk about this for a lot longer. But where can the listeners go to learn more about you, ask a question, that kind of thing?
So I'm not a really social people because I have kids to grow and also I need to do domestic duties in house. So I just don't have time for social that much. But I am on Twitter or slash X as they call it these days. And Nordicuck is my account there. And if you really want to get hold of me other ways, you can always like. I try to be active on Venus's Helpful Cucks Snapchat group, but sometimes I just don't have the time for that as well. So basically, those are the two places you can find me.
Yeah, thanks for mentioning the Helpful Cuck group. That's basically, for anybody listening, that's like a supporter tier where you get access to my Snapchat group, which has been a lot of fun. So yeah, if you, and then we meet up once a week. We have live hangouts together once a week, and private chats once a month. And so, it's such an awesome place to be able to connect with not just me, but like each other, which has been really cool. So, all right, that's going to be it for this episode today. Thank you so much, Oliver, for coming on the show again
today. Anytime.
Thank you to all of the listeners who tuned in for this show today. I hope you loved it. Make sure you go to venuscuckoldress.com. That's where you can book a private chat with me, check out some events, or join one of the membership tiers. And oh yeah, Locktober is coming up. And key holding is actually included in the Helpful Cuck tier. So if you want me to hold your chastity key for the month of October, or longer, you can send me your key as part of that tier. That's venuscuckoldress.com. Okay, make sure you check me out on Twitter as well. My handle's at cuckoldressv. That's it for today. We'll see you next time. If you've been listening to this podcast for a while, then you know I've talked about a really, really amazing sexual activity other than cuckolding, and it's called sensual massage. Now, I've received this a few times, and it is fucking mind-blowing. I'm a huge fan, but there just hasn't been any kind of place for guys to learn how to do it, not that I knew of anyway. Until now, I came across this video, this sensual massage video that is on xoafterglow.com, which is a pretty cool site. It is porn that is meant to be real, educational, entertaining, of course, but really cool, made by women, and lots of different kinds of porn as well. So I found this video on there. And I was like, oh my God, yay. It's really hot. It's this real couple. And he's actually, in the beginning of the video, learns how to do the massage. He's obviously watching some sort of instructions. He talks to his wife about it. And she's on the massage table. And he gives her an amazing sensual massage. Now, it's not as long as I would like as far as length of time, but the video is great. And I'm so happy to see it. It's really hot. It's really sexy. And it just presses all the buttons for me. So if you want to check it out, you should go to xoafterglow.com. And right now, if you enter the code Venus, you can actually get 1 week of free access to it, a free trial. So that's xoafterglow.com. Enter the code Venus. And the link for that, if you are not going to be able to remember, is in the show notes for today. Enjoy.